Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. In the land of difficult people, 24 timeless tales reveal how to tame the beasts at work. The authors of the book, which is published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association, are Terrence L. Gargiulo and Ginny Graham Scott. The book presents 24 fables, each exemplifying the best methods to use when dealing with different kinds of difficult people at work. These fables were gathered from around the world: China, Japan, Persia, Morocco, Denmark, Germany, France, Russia, and many other countries, as well as Celtic and Native American traditions. These treasured yarns offer valuable lessons for anyone with interpersonal troubles on the job. Our guest today is one of the authors, Terrence L. Gargiulo, president of MakingStories.net. He's a speaker and consultant on the role of narrative in organizations. His clients include Coca-Cola, General Motors, the Harvard Business School, and the United States Coast Guard. Welcome to the program, Terrence.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's great to be here.
Terrence, many of us work with people that we find difficult at some point in time. You have an interesting classification system in your book for dealing with difficult people. Could you tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure. You know, when we set out, when we were thinking about this book, each of us said, where would we find a collection of tales? How could we find something that would allow people to think about difficult people, not just from their day-to-day office perspective, but put them into a different place, put them into the place of imagination? And so we looked at folktales from around the world. And from those folktales, two things emerged. One, a very clear classification system based upon animals, because a lot of us see animals in both positive and negative lights. And then once we started looking at the stories, we saw some very, very clear patterns of behavior. So we came up with eight categories: the wicked wolves and other aggressive beasts, the cat and other independent beasts, and then the foxes. They're always crafty and they're always sly. And we talked about the great heroines in folktales that were always escaping the craftiness of the foxes. Then the lion, the mighty, power-hungry beast. Snails, slow and lazy. People who are unwilling to commit. Ravens, always sort of the trickster, the untrustworthy. You're always wondering, do they mean what they mean or do they say what they mean? Then snakes, treachery, slithery. The snake coils itself up in defensiveness. Lastly, monkeys. Monkeys we thought were clever, and a lot of the tales were really about monkeys being insincere. They weren't really great communicators. So the stories led us to animal types. The animal types and the stories gave us clear patterns that led to some categories that we felt were very much in line with what we experience day to day in the workplace.
Now, is this categorization used to help people understand difficult people? Is that why you've taken this approach?
Right. Any categorization is in some sense artificial. But what isn't artificial are the types of dynamics that we all face day to day in the workplace. And these stories led to these boxes, if you will, of common behaviors and of common types of situations that we all find ourselves in.
And then the stories, do they provide a common wisdom that is used to deal with these difficult people or to understand them?
Dave, you're on to both things. The stories allow us to project ourselves into the stories, and they relate to the kinds of situations, and then we get to see the characters in the story overcome these difficult people. So it provides us with a way of seeing our day-to-day situations and a way of knowing how we can overcome these difficult beasts.
And what do you think the most common type of difficult person is?
I think lions, the power-hungry beast, especially at a time now where many of us are feeling disempowered because of all of the turmoil that we feel in organizations.
Could you share a short story which demonstrates how to deal with that type of person?
I'll tell you the short story about the lion and the hare. One of the stories that's in the book, and the story comes from Persia. Imagine, if you will, a gorgeous meadow and lots of animals that thrive in this ecosystem. There happens to be, of course, the powerful, hungry lion, and he hunts and he preys upon everyone. Well, one day, the animals have had enough, so they all come together and they say, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle the situation? And somebody suggests, well, let's just do a lottery. Every day, instead of him hunting and all of us walking around paranoid, we'll just pick the loser for the day, and that loser will go up and he'll be the meal for the lion. So they go and they talk to the lion and say, oh, valiant, powerful, wonderful leader, we're going to give you lunch. You shouldn't have to hunt. You're such a mighty lord. We'll just bring you lunch every day. So this is working out great until one day a hare draws the lot and the hare just protests. Why me? Why me? I don't want to be for lunch. And the hare says, look, guys, I've got an idea. Just trust me on this. I'm going to take care of this lion once and for all. So the little hare walks up to the lion. Lion's got his fork and he's got his knife and he's ready for his meal. And he's actually a little bit upset because it's past lunchtime. He's been waiting. And the hare says, oh, I am so sorry that I'm late, but there were actually two of us for your lunch. And you would never believe what happened. Along the way, there was this other lion that grabbed the other hare, ate him for lunch, and said, who is taking food from my kingdom? I want to take care of that other lion once and for all. And the lion, of course, immediately gets indignant. Oh, fine, take me to this lion. I'll take care of him. Well, the hare, being clever, takes the lion on over to a well and peers over the well with the lion, and the lion jumps in to attack the reflection in the well. He thinks that that's the lion. He jumps in and takes care of himself. No more lion.
So what's the lesson now?
I would come out with maybe very briefly three strategies for that power-hungry lion. One is sometimes you got to go along to get along, just like those animals did, and let the lion make their own mistake. People will eventually be seen for what they are. It's not always the strategy that you want, but you have to make choices and you have to know when to use what strategy. Another thing is that you can quietly and strategically point out the boorish behavior to others and then find other people that you trust in the organization and invite them to point out the behaviors. And it's so important to point out the behaviors. It's not a character attack. Here are the power-hungry behaviors that are inappropriate, that are having these kinds of impact on our productivity, on our effectiveness, and this is what's getting in our way of being as effective, as successful as we can be. When you invite others, they then become mouthpieces as well, and the word spreads through the grapevine. People find out. Last is that if you can, come together as a group and find a supportive manager or boss and let them know what's going on, but come to the table with suggestions and ideas, not just complaints.
You're using stories here to help people understand how to identify and deal with difficult people. Is using these stories a good way for a manager to communicate to their staff about personality issues?
That's a fabulous idea, Dave. And the stories are a safe place to talk about difficult things. Because you're no longer talking about John down the hall or Jane that you work with, you now can depersonalize. You can work in the story space. So I'll give you three things. What you want to do is remember. And we remember by using the stories because they help us to trigger what's also going on in our workplace. As you remember the stories and as you reflect on the stories, you're going to create some new ideas, some connections to your workplace, to your people, to the dynamics in your office. And a manager or a trainer can actually use that as a safe place to begin these kinds of conversations in the dialogue. From remembering, we go to creating ideas, creating connections that we actually don't just leave these stories as fun stories by themselves, but we recognize that these stories are starters for dialogue and conversation and resolution and ideas and openness. And the third is imagining. You're going to create your own ending to these stories. The hare maybe had other options. And the beautiful thing about folktales is that you'll see that there are lots of versions of the same stories. And so because these folktales were about people handling difficult situations, they found it fit to put it into animals and to put it into things that were not so closely connected, that were analogies for what they really were encountering. And we see that in different versions, people come up with different solutions. So the story becomes a space that a manager can lead his group or a trainer could lead his group through possibilities, through change, through a way to get through whatever difficulties are being created by difficult behaviors.
The title of the book is In the Land of Difficult People, 24 Timeless Tales Reveal How to Tame the Beasts at Work. We'd like to thank one of the authors, Terrence L. Gargiulo, for being our guest today on the program. Thanks, Terrence.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much.
Now it's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview people at one of our centers. For more information on our centers and our seminars, please visit our website at amanet.org.
Hi, this is Kevin Lee, and today I'm visiting AMA seminar, Responding to Conflict, Strategies for Improved Communication.
I'm in the hospitality industry, and I'm in marketing operations. We do have indirect and direct conflicts with each other. The most common is disagreements between yourself and your supervisor. It's mostly because of different styles and opinions, and this class was able to allow us to look objectively between situations and figure out a way to resolve it.
My name is Adam Vane, and I'm the course facilitator for AMA's Responding to Conflict. Whatever the obstacle is in the conflict, we use a number of different techniques to sort of help them gain awareness, because awareness is the key. Some of them is role play and also reverse role play, where you get to play the difficult person, the person in the conflict that you've been suffering around. You actually get to play that person in a role play, have someone else play you, and by playing that other person, you actually see something new about how you're being or how they're being. That can be a big aha moment for people. Today, we had two people who came in from an organization. They had been talking around this conflict for 2 days, and we finally actually did a role play in front of the group. And it seemed like it was going to be a little bit risky, and they actually worked it out and came back to the group and said, oh my God, all these issues that we've had, we suddenly see new possibilities for each other to work together.
We had, I guess, a demonstration with a real-life conflict that Iris and I were having. The conflict that we had acted out was just on distribution of workload. Adam gave us some coaching as we were using our real-life example.
Yeah, there is a step-by-step process on the communication that we model practice for the group.
Listening and paraphrasing more, and also when you're paraphrasing, instead of saying, okay, I understand your point of view, but there's no buts allowed. I guess it turns it into a negative, so you have to use the word and state your point of view. We were having dinner just last night, and we were applying a lot of the techniques in having discussions, just trying to be more open with each other about our issues by using the help me understand your point of view and trying to not sound, I guess, accusatory and everything, which can escalate the conflict. It's more of trying to understand each other's point of view.
Adam is an excellent teacher. Actually, he makes the course very interesting, entertaining, and not boring at all.
Conflict management skills are some of the most difficult to develop. A majority of the people come in wanting to do something about it. If you're coming in because you are open and wanting to make a change, then there's a possibility for an incredible breakthrough. And people have thanked me for their relationship with their spouse. That got better. People have thanked me for their relationship with their daughter. People have thanked me because two people may have come in who were mandated to come in and they actually worked it out.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback. So please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.